We are in chapter 5 of Revelation.
Chapter 5.
Chapter 5. Last Sunday we talked about, in chapter 4 we talked about the throne that John saw in heaven and the beasts that were around it with the four heads, and we associated that with the tabernacle and the four guidons or banners or flags that the primary tribes that are around the tabernacle had. And they were all 12 tribes around the tabernacle. It's Reuben plus two tribes, Judah plus two, Dan plus two, Ephraim plus two. But the lead tribe on each one, their banner had the same symbols on the flag as the beast in Revelation.
I told Jeanette, I said, you see which one's on top, right? And she said, oh, that's a clerical error.
But the things that we see in the Old Testament, the symbology and stuff, are a representation of what we see in heaven. And even the things that we see in heaven, we talked about the crystal sea, is symbolic of things that we've seen throughout the Bible. So the Bible is just one tied together revelation of the gift that God has given us of redemption for our salvation, for eternal life. And if you really look at the Bible, there's so many things that tie together throughout the Bible. We got over 40 authors, 66 books, and they all tie together.
No contradictions.
No.
Yeah.
And if you think there's a contradiction in there, that's a challenge for you to look deeper.
There you go.
To look deeper. Sometimes you even have to go back to the original text, because we are limited in our linguistic abilities in English compared to some other languages sometimes. And then we're going to be talking about, well, we've already talked about crowns. There's different kind of crowns. And we just got one crown. I mean, you can modify that crown. There's a royal crown. There's a crown of victory. There's different crowns. But that same English word is used several places, but it has different meanings based upon the original text from the original documents. So it's a challenge to go deeper and study. On that same note, we talked about the throne. Chapter 5, we'll get into the scroll. Chapter 6, we start opening the seals of the scroll. When we're looking at the symbology and Revelation, we need to look at it based upon the time period that was written. For instance, in Ephesians, when it talks about the whole armor of God, and it talks about putting on the armor, it's sort of describing a Roman soldier and his armor that he's wearing, given different spiritual religious symbols to the armor, but it's describing something that's known in that day and age to help explain to people how they put on the whole armor. Same in Revelation. When we're talking about Revelation, the symbols we see in Revelation, they use what is known in that day and age. They talk about bows and swords and stuff. They didn't have guns or tanks or, people were riding horses, because that was the mode of transportation that day and age. So you have to look at the text based and the symbols in that text based on the age in which it was written.
They had horses back then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Horses? Oh, they had mules.
They had that too. You had to be a king to ride on a mule, though.
Is that a joke?
Okay, we're in chapter 5. What I'd like to do right quick, we're running out of time. Let me read through chapter 5 right quick. Now I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open a book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open a book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open a book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God set forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on earth, under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. So we're talking about the scroll here. The focus is on the scroll. Chapter 4, the focus is on the throne and everything that's around the throne. We still see all the surroundings of the throne here, but the focus of chapter 5 is on the throne. And it says, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, in other words, I assume that's our Heavenly Father sitting on the throne, a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Now, how you look at this scroll sealed with seven seals will have a lot to do with how you interpret things from here on out. Now, when I started studying this, you know, every time I go into a book in the Bible and start studying, you know, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, oftentimes my idea of what's going on is changed to a degree. The scroll we're talking about is a rolled up scroll, and we talked about we need to look at the scripture based upon the era that's in which it was written, and the commentaries I looked at, and I looked at several, most of the commentaries I looked at agree that it is a rolled up scroll like this with seven seals on it. And the seal is 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now, it may have just been a seal where it's rolled up like that, or it may be a seal with a ribbon on it that goes around like that somehow. But however the seals were on there, it were seven seals. And the commentaries I read said that it was typical in Roman law that when you had a deed or title to something, that legal document was rolled up, and by Roman law, it had to have seven witnesses. That'd be the seven seals on there. So, some of the commentators believe that the scroll was the deed to earth. Not all of them agreed on that, but some, you know, a lot of them did. Believed it was a deed to earth. Now, who's the prince of the earth right now?
The devil.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if you accept that, then if you look at this as the deed to the earth, when the scroll is open, it proves who's the legitimate owner to the earth. So that sort of messed up my mind a while until I thought about it. But then if you look at it that way, as you're opening the seals, and I only found one commentary that said this. One commentary said it was seven scrolls. I don't get that out of the text at all, anywhere. But he based that on the things that were happening after each seal opened. Now we're going to get in the seals next chapter. We're not even going to get to that chapter. We don't have enough time today. But I'm spending some time on this because it's important how you view this scroll and to how you interpret the rest of the scripture as the seals are being opened. So, if we don't know what's in this scroll until all the seals are open, then that influences how you look at what is happening when each seal is open. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
I have a question.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we're looking at it from the Roman standpoint, but how would the Jewish people look at the scroll? I mean, and the reason I ask this question is because I tend to think, I mean, there's so much symbology referenced to the tabernacle, and the tribes. And I understand what you're talking about, referencing, time period, mm-hmm. And draw those correlations. But my curiosity goes back to how did the Jewish people see a scroll, and its importance?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at the Torah, and it's traditionally bound up on two rolls that they roll through,
mm-hmm.
and then, they do seal it in swords, but it's in a bag or some type of vessel.
I got my notes somewhere. I don't know where it is right now, but I think it's Zephaniah, I believe, if I remember right. I got my notes in there somewhere. That there's one case in the Old Testament where it talks about the land deeds, Jewish land deeds, where it's where a scroll is rolled up and sealed, but it don't talk about seven seals. But it talks about the scroll, the deed to the property, being sealed with witnesses. See, in Jewish law, you only had to have two or three witnesses to make something legal. Roman law, you had to have seven, according to what I've read in the commentaries. So it would be a little bit different, I guess, if you looked at it from a strictly Jewish perspective, maybe. But there's symbology associated with the number seven.
It's a symbology of completion.
Right. Spiritual completion, yeah.
Well, technically speaking, at this time, the Jewish people were under Roman law.
Yes, they were.
They were part of the Roman, so mm-hmm. they would have been able to identify it as well
right.
as any other.
As well as the whole armor of God identifying yeah. with the Roman soldier. I mean, so that's what I was talking about, looking at the time period the scripture's written. So, yes, there's a case to be made for how the Jews looked at it, and I think they would only have to have two or three seals if it's strictly Jewish law. But the Roman law and symbology of the number seven, and that the Romans did have to have seven witnesses for a deed title. So that sort of fits in there if you look at it that way.
I'm just wondering, though, I mean, you talked about it being a legal document. I'm just wondering, though, if there wasn't some type of spiritual or religious connotation from the Jewish standpoint of a scroll, of a book.
Well, yeah. I mean, they held the Torah in high esteem. On a, it's taken care of. It's rolled up in a scroll. So I don't know. Let's see if I covered everything here.
And each seal might be representative, possibly, of the seven spirits of God.
Yeah. She got a question.
Yeah.
I have a question, and I've been wanting to ask you this for the longest. I just kept forgetting. Who are the 24 elders?
We talked about that last week. I mean, they are.
Yeah, I've
been there's so much speculation on who they are. They were they're our representatives. In chapter 5 that we're in now, they say they're the redeemed, so they're representing us. They were, some people think that they were the four courses of the priests that David had set up to service the temple. Some people think that they were the patriarchs from, I can't remember if it was Abraham or Adam, up to a certain time. And then other people think that it was 12 apostles and the 12 sons of Jacob. I mean, there's all kinds of speculation, but we're not told who they are. So anybody that says they know who they are, unless they can point in Scripture exactly who they are, I don't know. But we know they are redeemed.
Well, that's why I've been looking up, I decided to ask you.
You can find a commentary that tells you that commentator's idea of who they are, but Scripture don't tell us who they are. They are redeemed human beings, and they're representing us before the throne.
So basically they're like our lawyers?
Well, we only have one mediator, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But they're representing us before the throne. Yeah.
What do you mean when you say representing us before the throne?
Well, it's...
like an absentia?
Maybe to a degree. I don't know. But if there's thousands upon thousands upon thousands around the throne, and it says that, I mean, yeah. But then when it boils down to... what is happening around the throne is focusing on 24 elders. They're on smaller thrones there, and they get off their thrones, or cast their crowns of victory before the main throne there, which our Heavenly Father is sitting on. So those kind of things that they're doing are the same kind of things that we as redeemed should be doing ourselves. Even though we're not
like
in heaven.
Like repenting?
Sure.
Okay.
So they're kind of like the.
I think I'm getting that.
So they're kind of like our council representative, or they could be like.
That's your deacons in heaven.
I like it.
Yeah, because back in those days, you always had, you know.
I just wanted to know because I kept seeing them when I was going back over through Revelations, and I was like, who are these people?
We're like
how
your chief elders.
How come we didn't talk about them before?
Yeah.
Like but it doesn't give them a name or like a position or anything, so I just wanted to...
Some speculation says that 12 of them could be a representative from the 12 tribes of, you know, Israel, along with the 12 disciples.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so could be.
And Google doesn't help.
No. Google.
Okay, another reference according on this scroll thing. Revelation chapter 11 verse 15, after all the seals are open, it said, then the seventh angel blew the trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So that sort of gives us a hint of after the scroll is opened of what is in there or what it represents. Okay, verse 2 to 4. 2 to 4. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold... No, that's the wrong chapter.
Wait, which one are we on?
Chapter 5, verse 2. I looked the wrong place, I'm sorry. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in the earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was worthy to open to read the book, neither to look thereon. Nobody's worthy.
That's right.
The angels said nobody's worthy. The strong angel said nobody's worthy. And
are angels worthy?
Huh?
No.
Just checking. I just wanted to see what you were
going to
say.
Verse 5.
Said no one's. The angel said no one. Strong angel said no one is worthy.
Now, the strong angel.
Lucifer thought he was.
Is strong angel like, I mean.
Might be an archangel. Might be somebody like Gabriel or Michael or somebody. It might be an unnamed angel that we don't know the name of, but it says a strong angel. It gives us some kind of sense of he has some kind of authority in heaven or some kind of power or something. You know, a strong angel. There's nobody's worthy to look to open the scroll. Okay, verse 5 to 7. And when I... just keep looking at the wrong one. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, set forth into all the earth. He came and took the scroll out of the hand of him that sat upon the throne. Okay, angel said nobody's worthy. Who identified who was worthy?
The elders.
The elder. The redeemed. They understood. They knew who was worthy. One of the elders, one of the redeemed, one of the human beings that were redeemed and before the throne, they are the one that identified who was worthy to open the scroll. Angel said no one. But we, as the redeemed, we know who's worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Our representative up there, sure, of us who are redeemed before the throne, says, we know who's worthy to open the scroll. One thing I didn't...
What? Doesn't that speak very, I think very openly to the relationship that man has versus the
angels? Angels are jealous of us.
Yeah, because they can't even...
Right.
They can't...
Angels are not redeemed. A third of them sin. They have no redemption. They were around the throne. They sinned. They went with Satan. There's no redemption for Satan, no redemption for the third of the angels that sin. They're jealous of us.
And we
what does God see in us that he's willing to give his son on the cross to come to be one of us here on earth and die a horrible death as to make atonement for our sins? And the angels around the throne don't have that.
But can't they just repent?
There has to be shedding of blood for remission of sins. Jesus Christ shed his blood for us.
Not for the angels.
Yeah, the angels are just pure messengers.
I think we sort of discussed something along these lines last Sunday about hats in heaven, didn't we? Didn't somebody bring it up?
Just
by chance at work this week, my boss is crazy. He professes to be a faithful Catholic, but he never goes to Mass. But he always brings up Bible topics. And he come running down the aisle and says, Calvin, come here. Ken, come here. And he gathered some people around him that he knew were Christians in the office. And he says, can pets go to heaven? And he said, Calvin, what do you say? I said, no, they can't. They're not going to heaven. I said, man is made in the image of God with a body, soul, and spirit. And Jesus Christ died for us, for our sins. All of creation is corrupt because of the sin of man. All of creation, including animals. We're the only ones that are made in the image of God. We're the only ones that Jesus Christ died on the cross for, that we can have eternal life with our Heavenly Father. No, pets don't go to heaven. And just, he wasn't expecting that kind of answer.
You blew his little game out of water.
Aren't there already creatures in heaven?
There's creatures in heaven, yes.
Yeah.
We just saw creatures in heaven.
And weren't the angels all created at one time?
I don't know.
I thought there was some kind of
weapon. I don't know. Anyway, those kind of things come up day to day. I wasn't expecting. He just run down. I don't know why he brought it up, but he did. I was ready for it. another thing I forgot to talk about is verse 1, before I go too far. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside and sealed with seven seals. Is the scroll, and I think some of you translation may say scroll, it says book, but written on the front and back. That is unusual for a scroll to be written on the front and back. And the only reference I got with this, in the Army, when you fill out forms or like that, and you got a big space down here where you make a statement or something, and you make a statement or something like that, and then you say nothing follows, and you do something like that and initial it so nobody can write anything in there. Well, that's sort of way I'm looking at the scroll is written front and back, so nothing can be added to it. And we sort of have that as a warning or a curse. And Revelation 22, verse 17, 8, starting verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride said, come, let him that heareth come, and let him that is at thirst come, though whoever, let him take whatever water of life freely. Verse 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the word of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from things which are written in this book. See why I'm scared to teach Revelation?
I'm lost.
Revelation 22, 18 and 19. See why I'm concerned about teaching Revelation?
But to me, this... Well, I mean, I know we're probably going to get into it more when we start talking about the seals being opened, yep. You know, and the message that comes out of the book. But I don't. It seems to me that it's not necessarily the deed, but more a statement of this is the promise or
could
the
be?
Final
yeah.
final statement of the outcome of man, so to
mm-hmm.
speak.
Mm-hmm. We ain't got too far today. I was expecting at least get through chapter 5, but I guess we'll sort of have to hold off a little bit. But it was a redeemed man in heaven that identified the Lamb that was worthy to open. And
who's the Lamb?
Jesus Christ.
Oh.
And he said, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Can you imagine John? When the elder says, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Okay, where's the Lion? Where's the Lion? There's a Lion. He's a Lamb. Symbology. It's like your wife talking to you and change subject in mid-sentence. You know, you can't follow what's going on. You know? John is told, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Where's the Lion? There's your Lamb. You know.
Well, that goes back to the lion laying down with the lamb.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. You know,
correct.
The fact that
symbology.
Christ is both.
Yeah.
Christ is both 100% man and 100%
perfect peace.
100% God.
Yeah. Perfect peace on earth. I'm sorry I didn't get any fall on that, but we're going to have to close, I guess. We'll try to pick up two Sundays from now. Okay. Let's close.
Two Sundays.
Yeah, next Sunday we're going to have brunch here. We're not going to have a lesson unless you give it. We can talk about anything you want to talk about next Sunday. Let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time together to study your word. Lord, we pray you continue to open up your word before us and reveal to us what you would have us to know, Lord, that we may be better disciples, better servants of yours. As we go in your sanctuary now, Lord, we pray that all our words and deeds and songs of praise will be pleasing in thy sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.